You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Well, once again, it's graduation season, and I'm sure that many of you may have already or will be attending events as Linda and I had the chance a week or two ago. Our daughter received her Master's of Social Work degree at that university that shall not be named. You know that exceptional campus that's closer to downtown than we are here? It really was a wonderful day. And no matter the locale or the stage of education that we might be celebrating for any of us, graduation's an exciting time, isn't it? For the students, for their families, for their friends, because it really marks a wonderful achievement. And some students, as we're made aware each year, have really had to overcome an amazing number of challenges in order to graduate and to pursue their dreams and to make this world a better place, especially those that we saw graduating with their degree in social work. I have an especially soft spot in my heart for those people who choose to go into that kind of people-helping profession. The pay may not always be the best, but countless lives are going to be transformed because of those graduates and because of the efforts of those women and those men as they are out there in the field. Challenge. That's something I think about when we have graduation season. It's an interesting word. On the one hand, we use the word challenge when we're sometimes thinking about obstacles. Something that gets in the way of a desired goal. Maybe the challenge is something that we just have to put up with. And often we find ourselves in a place where we are working to get around the challenges. Sometimes we're successful at that. Many times we are not. So this type of idea around challenge, it's something that I would say probably has a negative connotation for us. Now think about what some of those challenges might be. Is the challenge perhaps a physical condition that hampers full access? Is it pain we are carrying because of relationships or circumstances which have hurt us deeply? Is the challenge job stress? Is the challenge an illness? I don't believe that any of us are immune to challenges of these sorts in our lives. Because, friends, it's simply a part of our human story. On the other hand, challenge does not always have to carry with it a negative connotation. A challenge, as we're well aware, can be an idea that we put before an individual or a group, hoping to achieve a higher goal or a higher purpose. A challenge is something to accomplish, and the byproduct of that challenge can be a new awareness. Perhaps it's developing a new skill set. Maybe we even come out of that time where we're accepting that challenge with a new purpose or a new vision. Sometimes that challenge is about transforming ourselves, moving from our comfort zones into uncharted territory. Other times the challenge may be creating societal change, attempting to move beyond old ideas and old prejudices. Of course, we also know that meeting a challenge can be full of challenges, right? So it brings both of those ideas together in one place. Well, many of us that are gathered here this morning are dealing with the former notion of challenge. There are things that are constantly going on in our lives with which we can barely cope. Now, sometimes those things are the creation of our own doing. When we choose not to tend to relationships, discord can be the result. When we make bad financial decisions, it's no surprise that keeping it all together is extremely frustrating. When we choose to sow seeds of discord, we should not be surprised when the crop that comes in is troubling at best. But for many of us, challenges are not things that we choose. Life circumstances have been thrust upon us. We do not choose chronic illness for ourselves or our loved ones. We do not choose to lose significant people in our lives through death. We do not choose to get laid off or to watch a business fail. What are some of the challenges, friends, that are in front of you today? Let's just pause for a moment for some quiet reflection to ponder, what are those challenges that are in my life? Let's be together in an attitude of prayer. When it comes to this concept, this idea of challenge, I believe that this is the place where the community of faith does some of its most important work. Church can be the place that offers us a challenge, which can help us to see a purpose and mission that perhaps lifts us from those daily things that challenge us, and it instead points us and our energies towards something good. And that challenge that we think of is not just something that's part of the modern church. The community of faith offering words of challenge is ancient in its origin. The passages we heard this morning are good examples. The one from the prophet Isaiah and the first letter of Timothy, they give us some insight into a specific challenge that is placed before God's people. That challenge includes a vision that encourages a much, much different way of being, a challenge that may seem, in fact, quite countercultural for the time and place in which we now live. First, thinking about Isaiah, the prophet was always pointing ancient Judah to a future that had hope, something to which the people could cling during a time of great national loss. And he pointed them towards actions to help the poor, actions to help the oppressed. Isaiah's vision was one where the oppressed would be free, and that we would share bread, and that we would bring the homeless into our homes, and that we would clothe the naked. That was the challenge. And it's clear that that message of Isaiah stuck. Because when we hear Jesus teaching, we know that same idea was alive and well when we listen to and study the gospel message. And when that reality would come to pass, when that challenge was met, Isaiah equated it to a light that would be breaking forth into the dawn. That powerful light coming in when God's hope would be revealed and experienced for God's people. Once again, we have here a place where God's people are challenged to be people of action, people who engage in finding a solution for the hurts of the world. Now, the letter of Timothy, even though it is much different from the era that resonates with Isaiah's message, we have a really interesting thing for us to look at here, especially a twist in it, which is quite pertinent to us because in this letter is a mention of those who are wealthy. Suffice it to say, friends, we who are gathered here today are in many respects the audience, the exact audience to which this teaching was addressed. The challenge, as we heard it, was very straightforward, especially to those who already have much. The challenge was to do good, to be rich in good works, to practice generosity, and to always be ready to share. As the writer indicated, these kinds of works will point us to a life that really is life. Not just an ordinary life, but an amazing life. And so what we see here is a very clear biblical record from both the Hebrew text and the latest writers of the New Testament that the way you and I choose to live our lives is of utmost importance. We are challenged. We are challenged to always be looking at the plight of the poor, the oppressed, those who are barely making it. Furthermore, as it suggests to us, it's not enough to just think about it or to talk about it. The challenge is to live into this hope through our very actions. And as straightforward as that may seem, we know that has not always been the case. Sometimes the challenge that the church offers is anything but this biblical hope. As we're well aware, in the time in which we live, it's pretty much impossible to use the word church in any universal way anymore. And that's why I often prefer to use the term a follower of Jesus, as opposed to church, or Christian, or Methodist, or whatever the term is that we want to throw around. The generic terms assume that there is a common knowledge, perhaps a common understanding and practice, when reality teaches us that that is anything but the case when we use those generic terms. And to further complicate things, our American expression of church, Christianity, whatever we want to call it, not only varies from denomination to denomination, but it varies within the denominations themselves. Our reality is that faith community has become very regional, and faith community today is really very much linked to a particular worldview that one chooses to adopt. Well, here at Westwood, I believe we try hard. We try hard to be followers of Jesus, holding on to that instruction that you might remember from the prophet Micah, to seek justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. And this then is informed by our commitment to Jesus' teaching to love God and to love one another, things that are very consistent with these messages we heard in 1 Timothy and in Isaiah. And Jesus' simple teaching for me, and maybe for you too, is challenge enough. It's challenge enough right there without having to get involved in theological warfare and minutiae that I really wonder sometimes if God actually cares about it. So at best, church is this place right here. Right here that we call home, the people who gather here. A place where we are here to try to hold each other up as best we can so that we together can do our best living into Jesus' teaching, living into this hope of Isaiah, living into this hope in 1 Timothy. I believe that the words of the prophet, as well as the words in the letter, contain a definite important message for our time and place. It is a challenge, friends, that if we choose to live into it, a challenge which has power to transform not only us, but to transform the world around us, the community around us. As I kind of mentioned before, friends, we are the wealthy. Even those of us with the most modest means know more wealth than our sisters and brothers in this world will ever know. So at a very basic level, the challenge is to use our resources, our skills, our education, our political clout to worry about those things that were mentioned in our text this morning. And by extension, that, friends, is God's challenge to us, to be responsible, generous stewards of all that we have. We don't have to look hard to see what some of the possibilities might be. When we think about it, it's a daunting list on so many levels. Inequity of income, for example, the ever-widening gap between the haves and the have-nots. How about the systematic inclusion and exclusion in our faith communities because of where a person is born, or how much they do or do not earn, or who the other person is that they choose to love? What about the way that we as a nation choose to treat the sojourner, the stranger in our midst? Our biblical stand is so at odds with the law of our nation. How can we criticize, though, friends, our government when intolerance is cultivated in so many of our churches? These are just a few of the things we struggle with here at Westwood in order to work at being faithful followers of Jesus. But friends, let's remember, God's call is not about being stuck in the struggle. God's call is about using our lives and our actions to make a difference. So what might some of the things be that we can do? Well, first of all, I think it's really important in this time and place to let the world know that there is a church that exists that not only welcomes everyone, but provides full access and ministry to everything. We take that for granted here, but I'm here to tell you that's not something we can take for granted across our country. Do we let people know about the unique stand we are taking as people of faith, as followers of Jesus, yes, as people who go to church? We need to let the world know that church does not have to be about tunnel vision, about the nursing of wounds and the perpetuation of old prejudices and bigotry and racism, which, friends, has no place in a community that calls itself a follower of Jesus. There is no room. Well, what else could we do? Well, each of us could go about finding one organization. I'm just talking about one organization beyond this community of faith to support with our time and our finances. In fact, imagine what would happen if we just gave up Starbucks or Pete's for a week, for a full year, and put that money towards one of the organizations we're passionate about. What might that organization be? Perhaps it's ones that's dealing with issues of homelessness. Or maybe it's about immigration services. Or perhaps it's an organization that deals with human trafficking, one of the organizations many people here are very passionate about. Whatever the cause might be about which you have passion, this is one of the ways to live into this challenge, God's challenge for our lives. You see, there's this thing about it's not just enough to be here on Sunday. What do we do with the other days of the week? And how do we actively engage with our community the other days of the week so that Isaiah's hope and the hope of 1 Timothy might be made reality in our community? I think that's something we all can do. What's another thing we can do? Well, in the land in which we live, it is really critically important to practice communicating and trying to influence our elected representatives at all levels. When it comes to the city of Los Angeles, perhaps we want to engage our representatives in issues surrounding homelessness. Or in the state of California, perhaps it's issues surrounding education and its consistent underfunding that happens from year to year. Perhaps what we really want to talk about to our federal representatives are our beliefs about immigration and health care and the safety nets that a responsible society and a society that claims to be Christian would hold up. See, this is something that we can do as followers of Jesus. All of these things, they point us to a future of hope, a future that Isaiah puts before us, a future that we read of in 1 Timothy. And what else can we do? Ultimately, friends, we need to pray. We need to be in prayer so that we have a depth of spirit and an understanding in our faith to create space where we can hear God and how God might be nudging us and moving us and encouraging us to take a stand and to take a next step. So you see, friends, I think there are things that all of us can do to move beyond sitting in the pew and actually engage in creating hope for the world. You know, these last several weeks, our sermon series has been the question, why the church? And when we started that series, we were talking about the fact that for many, they feel church is an anachronism, it has no use, it has no meaning, and it has no purpose. And I guess at this point, I would go on to say that, yes, there are many churches that have no meaning and no purpose and no use. But I don't want to be part of that kind of church, and I don't know about you. And so as we've been together, we've been talking about and considering that the church offers us a place to experience the holy, The church offers us a place where we can grow. The church offers us a place where we can experience healing and hope. And the church is a place that challenges us to a better future, to a future that's enmeshed in God's realm so that God's hope for this world is made manifest in our time and place. So, friends, I believe we need the church. We need the church more than ever. What do you think? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.